We're back. Episode 2 of Prep Sports Now. I know you guys have been waiting. Finally, we can stop the speculation because the season has started. We've got a week of games in the books. We were both at some games. Brewer has seen defending state champion Bishop Gorman twice now, covered both their first two games. Ray, what'd you see out of the Gales?
Well, kind of like I suspected, Case, I thought they'd be a little rough around the edges to start. 2009 team graduates 8 guys who went on to Division I scholarships. A lot of new holes to fill, especially on defense. Gorman's 1-1. They lose to Hamilton High. A very close game. Great rally by them at the end. They needed to score a touchdown, get the 2-point conversion. They did that. Unfortunately, they had some defensive breaks. They couldn't keep in the game, and they end up losing to Hamilton. Bounce back against Del Oro. 3 things I learned about Gorman. 1, Shaq Powell is awesome, the junior tailback. He had 4 touchdowns in the win against Del Oro Saturday, but was more impressive for me was the way he ran against Hamilton High. Hamilton was real big in the trenches. He took a lot of hits early, and he just showed that he's a, you know, he might be 5'9", 170 pounds, but he's as physical as they come, and he very impressive. Of anybody on Gorman, he stood out obviously the most. Number 2 is, this Gorman team has really given up a lot of big plays. They gave up a punt return for a touchdown against Hamilton. They gave up 2 long pass plays against Hamilton, which ultimately doomed them. You really don't look for that from a Gorman team because you're used to them exploding for the big play. So that really just shocked me. And then just a new cast of characters. Who are the players going to be for Gorman? And, you know, there was Evan Zager, the kid who played at Gorman as a sophomore, didn't play as a junior because he was in Washington, and now he's back as a senior. Looked awful against Hamilton. There's no way to do it. He got beat on a few passes, dropped a pass at wide receiver. He rebounded against Del Oro, caught a touchdown, and I think maybe that's the player that Gorman expects to see the rest of the way. But 1-1, we had him going 2-1 against the out-of-state opponents, each losing to the De La Salle. They couldn't get by Hamilton. Big-time environment, though, up in Flagstaff. It was a great game, and we could talk all day if you wanted. We can make this the – forget Prep Sports Now. We could call this Gorman Sports Now if we needed to.
How do you like the way they responded? I mean, do you think that was really a big thing with a team that hasn't lost a lot of games? Obviously, they never lost last year. You're always worried about how they're going to come off that first loss. I mean, could Tony Sanchez have asked for any more to come back against another national team and kind of looked like dominate that game?
Well, they did, and I thought what was impressive was Gorman's first play from scrimmage. Shaq Powell goes 60 yards on a run, and Gorman struggled to move the ball against Hamilton. Hamilton was real physical. Gorman had some problems early in the game with audibles and some of the noise. So to see them kind of make the improvement from week 1 to week 2 says that they're, you know, obviously a big-time player. Gorman, by the way, had some awesome-looking uniforms, dude. Go to the website, folks, if you want to see some pictures, LasVegasSun.com in the photo gallery section. These slick-looking Nike uniforms, dude. If anything, they look sharp. And you know, they're the state's elite team. They're the top dog. They're the team everybody has to beat. And they're only going to get better by playing all these out-of-state teams. And for Gorman to pick up a win against the Del Oro squad that I think was ranked 14th in the state of California, very impressive. Kept it close against Hamilton. It's not like, you know, any other team in Nevada, I guess with the exception of maybe Palo, Case, goes and gets blown out against Hamilton. Gorman's right there with them. You know, Hamilton's a team that had won like 4 or 6 state championships. They were riding a 20-some game winning streak. Gorman, all these new players in new spots, battles them, you know, blow to blow.
Well, there'd be one problem with calling this Gorman Sports Now. What else will we talk about? They don't play this week. They're off. They finally have an off week. So I think we got to switch from the beautiful Nike jerseys that you talked about to the beautiful Under Armour jerseys that I like to talk about. Let's talk about Palo Verde. A lot of focus is going to be at their school this weekend. They host Liberty, 2 great teams, probably two. I think you can't even argue it's probably 2 of the top 10 teams in Las Vegas right now. This game should be huge. What are you looking for?
Well, this is odd because you've got a man crush on Palo, and I've kind of got a man crush on Liberty. So it's like worlds are colliding right here. Of all the games, if you look at the schedule, week 1 to week 10, of all the games that stand out of local teams playing each other, this has to be the game of the year. This is the game that everybody wants to see. The speed and Palo's, you know, offensive scheme against the big, powerful, girthy Polynesian players of Liberty. My boys, my man, they're going to hit. They are so big dude. I just don't think people realize the size of these Liberty guys. And our picks are coming up. I picked Liberty. You picked Paolo. I picked Liberty because they're men. This is grown men tackling. And I know Brandon Wright is great for Paolo Verde. No disputing that. He's quick. He had like 10,000 yards and 8,000 touchdowns against Green Valley. In week one, he could have doubled those stats, but they only played him half the game. So is Brandon Wright's speed going to get past the power and the girth of Liberty?
I'll say this. I mean, people like to go watch monster trucks that can run over stuff, make some explosions, but the monster trucks can't catch the Corvettes, the Mustangs, you know. I'm telling you, Paolo Verde is going to run right past this team. I think it's crazy you're taking Liberty, and I love Liberty too. I'm not quite as much on the bandwagon as you. I picked them to win the Southeast, but I got to tell you, I don't think Liberty even stays within 14 points of this
game.
No
way.
Brandon Wright is too good. They're too fast. They're going to be at home. It's going to be an electric atmosphere. I mean, it's Southeast versus Northwest. What have we learned?
Who's got the better league this year, the Southeast? All I know is that when Liberty gets down there, they're going to do the haka dance. They're going to have the face paint. There's no way about it. Liberty wins this game, and here's a good example. Last year, Paolo Verde played Legacy. The final was 7-6. Legacy beat them. Legacy and Liberty's team are very similar. Big, physical, established the run. I think this is what it's going to happen. I think this is a great game either way. And Paolo's got to be the favorite. They got to be a double-digit favorite. I mean, Paolo is a perennial power. Liberty's a team that just made the playoffs for the first time last year. Paolo's a team that has, you know, established coach, multiple Division I guys. Liberty, you know, they got a guy who was the wrestling coach last year, you know, and now he's the football coach. He's having success. They've got one player in Sam Tye that's getting some major Division I looks. Their skilled guys are you know, no-name guys, and we're liking Liberty because of their size. But I think, you know, I've been high in this Liberty team since the summer. I picked them third in our preseason poll, and it's either put up or shut up. The Patriots are either going to come to play, they're either going to do that haka dance right off the field into the bus, or they're going to get ran into the ground. Now, I see where you're coming from, because Liberty's a team that has no big game experience. You know, they've been in two playoff games in the history of their program. They have kids who haven't been in that big time game. Paolo Verde plays in a big game every week because, one, everybody wants to beat them. Two, they play on Thanksgiving weekend every year. That's the state semifinals. So Paolo is the team to beat. But it reminds me of, you remember when Texas and Texas Tech played in the Big 12 a few years ago?
Yes.
Crabtree caught that touchdown at the end of the game. It's kind of like the old guard versus the new guard, and I think this Liberty team is ready to rock and roll. Now, I know I'm putting you on the spot. You're going to be covering the game for us. The kids might be all over you on the sideline. I don't know.
Wow, I mean, we really can't get through a podcast without bringing up Texas Tech. But one thing I do like that you brought up was that Legacy game last year. I really thought about this and saying, could this game be kind of like that? But I see one huge difference. Legacy at that game was really at their peak. They just beat Cimarron in one of the best games of the year last year. I think they really were at the top of what they're doing. Liberty hasn't even played a game yet. If we saw anything from the first week of games this week, it's that these teams come out rusty. I mean, these are high school kids playing their first game. You got to go at least a quarter that Liberty's going to have to get into their offense, get stuff ready. You can't give Paolo that kind of wiggle room. I mean, this team is going to score right away. Pretty much every other time Brandon Wright touched the ball against Green Valley, he scored this weekend.
You're very right about that. I will give you the fact that actually Paolo, their first three games, Green Valley, Liberty, and Mojave, are all teams playing their first game of the year. So advantage right there, just because first game jitters, even Gorman, you know, the state's most elite team, what did they do first series against Hamilton? Let's go three false starts, one delay a game, and a punt. So the best team in the state, you know, the measuring stick, if they struggle early, you know, our Liberty Patriots are probably going to struggle early too. Also, Liberty's got a sophomore quarterback playing his first varsity game. So it would be an upset. There's no doubt about it. It would be an upset. And maybe, you know, Liberty takes a moral victory. They keep it close. But I just think this Liberty team is, you know, listen, Paolo's got Brandon Wright. Paolo's got Dylan Chasen up front, the defensive lineman. Who else do they have?
Thayer Kuhn. This guy is amazing. I don't think you've been watching this defense enough. They got two guys that picked off that had interceptions returned for touchdowns in the game. They have Anderson, the kid returned an 86-yard kickoff return. I just love Paolo. Mark me down right now, Paolo minus 14. I think they went
minus
at least 14? Two touchdowns.
Oh, my God. Well, see, Paolo doesn't do good traditionally on extra points, so that point might be the difference there.
It could be, and I guess I'll have to eat my words. But we focused on what's been sloppy about the first week. Since we were out at the games, we know what all happened in the first week of games. What wasn't sloppy? Who stood out to you? Who were you impressed with in the first week?
Well, I was really impressed with the way Durango played against Del Sol. I know this is kind of like a make-or-break year for Durango. They've got a lot of senior players. But everything about what they did from warm-ups to the end of the game reminded me of a team that, you know, is going to try to take advantage of this senior opportunity. Case, when they walked out onto the field, they had one kid that had like the Durango flag, and then they got all the other kids kind of locking arms, singing my new favorite song, We Ready. We ready. We ready. And I was getting fired up, bro. I know that there's a version out there that some guy named Lil Wayne sings that's got a lot of bad words in there, but there's some good versions out there. Folks, Google We Ready by
Archie Eversole, I believe it is.
My man Archie. It'll get you fired up if it's, you know, we ready to do your homework, or we ready to go take your wife out to the movies to see that love movie, or are we ready to do whatever. That song gets you fired up, man. I heard that song and I kept singing it like all weekend, and I was just motivated like all weekend. You know, and usually I'm high strung, a lot of energy. Parlay it to that song and I was fired up. But back to Durango, they fall behind 14-0 and you think, wow, they're done. Del Sol's just going to run all over them in the second half. They respond by throwing the ball, opening it up, and they win 21-14. Didn't give up a point in the second half. I really like the Durango team, and it has more to do with, you know, what else they have in addition to Julio Moro than Julio Moro. Julio Moro did not shine in this game. He barely had 100 yards. Chase Roberts, the quarterback, had just an absolutely awesome day. They got a few good change of pace guys that run the ball. I think this Durango team is a legitimate two. I think they are the second best team in the Southwest, and I think they won a playoff game this year. Nobody beats Gorman, obviously, but you know, they're going to look good doing it. I tell you, Durango's got some nice-looking uniforms, too, with all the names in the back of their jerseys.
No word on if they walked out to We Ready, but the team that impressed me the most in week one, I think, was Foothill. I mean, if you listen to this podcast, you know that I was way on the Bonanza bandwagon. Well, guess what? I'm already jumping off that ship onto the next one coming by. Give me Foothill. I love what this team did, 48-14. I think really maybe we didn't focus enough on all that this team had coming back. I mean, they had Parker Reagan as their quarterback last year, Afoa, we all know about him. They were just great, and looking at their schedule, I really think that it would take a big upset for them not to go undefeated into October. So cross me off the Bonanza bandwagon. I'm off of that. It's now Foothill. Until Foothill gets beaten, then I'll jump on whoever beats them bandwagon.
You've just jinxed another team, because who does Foothill have this week?
Chaparral.
The orange and black hitting attack, baby. Yeah, they're going to come and get them good. No, Foothill should rock and roll, unfortunately. Chap's a little down. You're right about the Parker Reagan kid. Led the Southeast in passing last year. It's like nobody even knows who the kid's name is. You know, who's the quarterback at Foothill?
Joe Smith.
Yeah, Joe Smith is a Parker Reagan, and he throws the ball real nice. Obviously, they've got their best player in Connor Afoa, who's just a force offensively and defensively. And you got to give Foothill credit. When you have a senior like Afoa at Foothill or Julio Mora at Durango, just a special player, or maybe what Del Sol did last year with Desiree Creed, you ride this kid both ways until his legs fall off. That's what Del Sol did last year with Desiree Creed. He played linebacker, led the state in rushing. You know, that's what obviously Durango plans to do with Julio Mora, and that's what Foothill's going to do with Connor Afoa. You get the best player on the field, and you build around from there. And that's what Paolo does with Brandon Wright. You know, my Liberty Patriots are going to be so focused on stopping Brandon Wright. Other guys who we've never heard of, who you're going to mention as their team leaders, are going to have great days.
You could be right, but I still love Paolo in that game. And, I mean, you were kind of critical of my pick of Bonanza as a sleeper. Can we both agree that Foothill, better choice for that distinction?
Yeah, Foothill, I mean, they beat Vegas in the playoffs last year, and they returned like 3/4 of the starting lineup from that team. I think Foothill's legit, and the Southeast, bro, is loaded this year. Del Sol, I think, is going to bounce back. We'll talk about that game with Canyon Springs later. Silverado is expected to be good. We know what we think of Liberty. We both agree they're going to beat Paolo, right?
No. I love Liberty. I mean, Liberty can go 9-1 for all I care. They're just not winning this game.
Okay. Listen, I tell you what. Those Liberty, I hate to go back on the size of these kids, but this is like a college team. Like, literally, they're huge girth. But anyways, the Southeast is loaded, dog.
I agree. Well, let's jump right into the Southeast. Let's look at all the games this week. First game this week, we both think should be a really good one. It features a Southeast team on the road, Del Sol, 0-1, going to Canyon Springs. High expectations in Canyon Springs. They took second last year in the Northeast. Hunky Cooper thinks they can maybe take it a step further this year. What do you think?
Well, I'm going to go back to the Case Kiefer theory on high school football. First game for Canyon Springs, second game for Del Sol. Teams probably even matched. I'm going to go with Del Sol. Now, my reason is that, you know, obviously Del Sol is going to be more polished. I don't think Del Sol loses two games in a row. Not the team they were last year when they took second in the state. I think they got way too many kids playing both ways. A lot of kids were gassed there late in the game. They got to get the elite running back. I know Devontae Stapleton was going to be the answer in the backfield. He didn't really establish himself as the one. Chris Marshall had a long breakout run for a touchdown. Marshall, Stapleton, maybe they tag team it. Del Sol needs to establish the run. I think they'll be just fine. I think they beat Canyon Springs because Canyon Springs is a little rusty. Also, Canyon Springs is a little small. They got a ton of athletes. They got a ton of speed. They don't have any size.
I don't want to be repetitive. I already said this, but the reason I took Del Sol, too, is because I just can't see this team starting the year 0-2. But that being said, I think Canyon Springs should be a really good team, but we haven't seen them yet. So I went with Del Sol, but this could really go either way. Let's go on to the next game, another Southeast team. I think this should be another great game. We already talked a lot about Durango. Obviously, they're going to have an edge from the way they come in because they're just more motivated than anyone, according to Brewer. But they've got Basic visiting them this week. Basic, really impressive in a win against Boulder City, but it is Boulder City. It's a 3A team. Are they as good as they looked? What do you think about this game?
All I got to say is two words, buddy. We ready. Maybe I'm on the Blazers bandwagon. I don't know. Listen. Basic, great community. They love their high school football. Again, I'll go to the fact that they're probably a little undersized up front. They don't have any elite athletes. Somehow they piece it together. They throw the ball 80 times to 400 different kids. Probably not an exaggeration. You were at the game. They slung it around well. That offense, no matter who they're facing, is tough to stop. I look at the Basic game. Last year, Basic played Desert Pines in a league game. A non-league game on a Friday night early in the season. I picked Desert Pines. I was all over Eric Tuilomo, and Basic went in there and beat him 25-0. I could easily see this happening against Durango. I'm all on the Durango bandwagon. Basic loves to prove me wrong, and they go in there and they knock him off. You saw the Basic game. Could they duplicate that offensive effort that they had against Boulder City, which is a 3A school, probably not quite there yet, against a Durango team that is ready?
I'll tell you what, I like Basic in this game, and I'll tell you why. I think you're going to be really surprised when you see them. I saw them a couple times last year, and they're more athletic this year easily. Wait till you see this receiver, Devontae Boyd. I'm telling you, this guy is
he's a sophomore.
You use the word unathletic to describe Basic. Wait till you see this guy, and I think that Dominic Vilas too. You can't call that kid unathletic.
He's nice, but he's like 5'7". All I know is I saw Vegas Basic in the passing league, and I know there's no linemen or pads in passing league. But literally, it was like Vegas would be the Ferrari, and Basic would be that Hyundai Sonata that John Fritz drives out of the office every night.
Kind of sounds like another game, Liberty versus Palo.
Yeah. Liberty's like that big Chevy Yukon, though, baby. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly. I guess if that's what you say. I really do think this game could go either way, though, but I like this Basic team. I think they got a shot. Let's stick with the Southeast. Maybe this game doesn't have the pizzazz as some of the others, but Coronado at El Dorado, two first-year coaches, maybe a close game?
Well, it's going to be a close game. Here's the deal at Coronado. They got a few good players, Devon Riley, Cody Musino, but what they lack is a quarterback. And they did so well at the end of last year slinging the ball around. They don't have a proven quarterback. They got a few juniors they're trying. And I think El Dorado's a team that's trying to get off on a right foot. Maybe they're going to be it's going to be a nip and tuck battle the whole way through. And I think El Dorado might prevail just because they might have a little more athleticism. Really a coin flip. I think Coronado could be good if they piece it together. I just think Lance Cooper kind of thrown into the fire late as the head coach. Way too much to organize by himself. He lacks a few assistant coaches, and I think El Dorado wins.
I'll take Coronado, but I don't feel strongly enough to argue about this one. So let's go on to Silverado at Desert Oasis. Who do you like?
I think this is a statement game for Silverado. Big time shock that they didn't make the playoffs last year. Big time shock they didn't make the playoffs 2 years ago. They win the league in 2007. They take Vegas to the final minute in the semifinals. You think this program's on the rise. They got a ton of big athletes. They look great. Injuries, inconsistency. They missed the playoffs the last 2 years. Last year they were 5-0. They bring in Randall Cunningham to run the offense. They get a running back from from Centennial, a quarterback from Liberty. They're going to be special, so they think. I think they make a statement. I think they go out and they put a lopsided number on Desert Oasis, who apparently likes to prove me wrong because they beat Valley last week. I really thought Desert Oasis was a one-year wonder after making the playoffs last year. Maybe they're better than I think, but I really think Silverado goes in there and lopsides them.
I really like this Desert Oasis team. I think they're under the radar, and I'd love to pick them here, but I just don't think I can. Looking at what Silverado has done out of their league the last few years, it just seems like they never lose, and I think they might have a slight edge, but I wouldn't be surprised if this game was close. Let's go to a game that I think we both agree won't be close, as much as it might pain you. Foothill and Chaparral, the Falcons, my boys. I mean, they just might hang 60 this week.
UNLV football coach yesterday had his press conference, first-year guy, and he says, you know, obviously we want to win every game. That's the goal of every coach. If you're not doing that, you know, retire. Find another activity. That should be the goal for Shap. But just like UNLV, maybe we show a little improvement every week. You know, maybe we get all 11 guys in the field at the same time, sling it around and try to do something. I'm hoping that Foothill overlooks Chaparral. Maybe Chaparral can sting them a little bit. Maybe get some points on the board, keep it close, and get better. Foothill wins big.
I might be helping your Chaparral out here because maybe Foothill does get full of themselves and they're listening to me because I'm like their hype machine now, single-handedly. Let's go to the next game I strongly disagree with you on. Las Vegas at Snow Canyon. Looking at your picks, you picked Snow Canyon. You picked the Utah school to beat Hassan Henderson, to beat these kids at Las Vegas. Really? You serious?
Well, the game's in Utah. You got to get Hassan Henderson to Utah. It's going to be colder. It's a rough environment. Listen, we know Vegas is good. We know Pharrell Victor is a special running back. We know Marquand Major could catch the ball. We know that Cameron Rogers is a great second option offensively. We know that their defense returned 9 guys and looks great. But if the game was here, maybe. We got a bus trip up there, 4 or 5 hours. A Snow Canyon team, which is good, which gave them a little bit of a run last year. I think you were at the game. But, I mean, maybe I'm wrong. Vegas wins. But you're sounding like Vegas is going to go up there, eat all their Big Macs, go out in the field, put a 40 spot on them, and get back on the bus and take a few Snow Canyon cheerleaders with them. It's not going to be that easy, dude.
Not that many points. I think they'll win by a couple touchdowns. I mean, hey, all they have to do, yeah, that bus ride might be bad, but when they pull into town, as long as they're singing, "We ready," yes, we know they're going to come out.
Yes.
We know they're going to do it. Let's stay in Las Vegas now. Rancho and Sierra Vista, I think it could be a good game.
I mean, listen, if you got two teams that are both young and unproven like this with nothing to lose, I think this is two equally matched teams. Beauty of Friday night, you're going to go out and have fun. I like Rancho.
Valley at Arborview seems to be a mismatch. Arborview played pretty well in their first week.
I thought Valley was going to be a lot better than they were. Arborview went in and put a lopsided score on Rancho. We all thought Arborview was going to be real young. They probably are. Their youth is probably a little more organized than Valley and Rancho. We take the Aggies.
Another game that don't know a whole lot about Sunrise Mountain other than it's their first year. They're playing Western. They're hosting Western, their first big 4A game at home. Any way they can have a storybook ending.
If Fernando Carmona, my man, a Chaparral grad, loses this game, I'd be shocked. I think Western – listen, Western's been around since before I was born, you know, it's 50s, 60s. Sunrise Mountain just built. No way they win this game.
Yeah, I really don't see it happening for Sunrise Mountain either. They just – every game last year they lost by so much. How hard is it going to be for them to be in it this year? That's how I look at this game. Next, a game that last year was a great game – Centennial at Green Valley. You got to be worried about how Green Valley's defense looked against Palo. I mean, Palo just did whatever they want, but of course this is Palo, the almighty Panthers. Maybe Centennial isn't quite on their level. Do you think Green Valley can bounce back?
Well, I tell you what, we mentioned Brandon Wright, you know, until we're blue in the face. What about Willie White from Centennial? Great, great running back. I think 4 touchdowns last week against Clark. I think Centennial has absolutely no problems with Green Valley. I think it's going to be a big win. By the way, your boy Brandon Wright used to play at Centennial. Now that he's gone, my boy Willie White is making a difference.
Hey, I love Willie White, too. I called him out on the picks last week. I think he's a great defensive player, too, both sides of the ball. I still think this game will be closer. Green Valley traditionally done good against Centennial, but I just can't pull the trigger seeing how Green Valley did in their first week.
A lot of holes in that defense, kind of like a piece of Swiss cheese.
Exactly. Let's get on to the 3-3A games this week, all at playing out-of-state opponents. Boulder City going to Mojave, Arizona. Moapa going to Hurricane, Utah. Virgin Valley staying home and playing Cedar City. Out of these three, who do you think is going to win?
Well, I like Boulder City at Mojave because driving to Bullhead City to play them is about like driving to Legacy to play Legacy in North Las Vegas, coming from Boulder. I think Mojave is a team that just isn't that good. I think that town is not a football town. And I think Boulder City, for as bad as they looked against Boulder, I mean against Basic, gets a W. Moapa, we're a little nervous about. We know that they were young up front and that it wasn't going to be the same Moapa team. But how often does Moapa put up a bagel, bid?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I guess they had the ball within the red zone twice and turned it over both times. But this Hurricane team's real tough. I don't like Moapa's chances a lot. But, hey, I think after this game they really turned it around. They probably run off three or four wins in a row.
I mean, the question is for as bad as Moapa looked last week, are they better than Boulder and Virgin? Because that's all you got to do. It's right. Not like it's an uphill climb.
Right now my power rankings would be Virgin 1, Moapa 2, Boulder City 3. I was really impressed that Virgin went out and won last week, shut out the Utah school they were playing. Seemingly played pretty well. Had a 26-play drive to open the game. How insane is that? They took 12 minutes until they finally scored.
I like that. That's a good game to cover. Run that clock, dude. Right? Yeah.
There you go. Well, that gets us all through the games. We'll see you out there this weekend. Keep listening for New Prep Sports Now. Check out the picks, LasVegasSun.com.